I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
If you're working as an accountant and you lose your job, nobody really notices.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Tommy Lowe!
Rugby Weekly.
Little reverse pass. Oh!
Hello and welcome to the 42 Rugby Weekly Extra. Gavin Casey here in studio, joined by the 42's own Ryan Bailey. How are you, Ryan?
Hi, Gav. Nice things.
That says a lot. And we're joined on the line as well from Japan by Murray Kinsella, who was at Ireland's laborious 35-0 bonus point victory over Russia. How are you, Murray?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you guys? Ryan sounds pretty downbeat back there, which I can understand. I think the Ireland fans leaving, although to be fair to them, they're still having the crack. They seem to celebrate no matter what. A couple of them, I think, pretty worried about the rest of the World Cup, though.
Yeah. Are you worried based on what you saw today?
If I was in the Ireland camp, I'd be worried. They put on a very brave face, and I guess they weren't going to do anything else but that afterwards. Joe Schmidt said he was pleased with more than he was concerned about. Peter O'Mahony said they were very pleased to put 35 points on a very good Russian side. I'd probably question whether it was a very good Russian side. I'm not meaning that in disrespect. Listen, they absolutely gave everything. They kicked really well and pressured Ireland. Their breakdown was good. And the scrum obviously got a couple of penalties. But let's be realistic about it. It's the 20th ranked team in the world. They actually had rested several frontliners for this. They made 9 changes and pulled some of their key guys out. That has to be remembered. And you know, this is a team that Jersey Reds beat only a couple of weeks ago, really. Obviously, a World Cup is bringing out the best in them, but from Ireland's point of view, another poor performance on top of the Japan defeat, the shock defeat. And listen, there were moments of good attack. They got their bonus point. That keeps them in the hunt and in control of their quarterfinal destiny, I guess is the wrong word now. But there was a lot in that performance that, if Joe Schmidt is being realistic, he'll be worried about.
Yeah, Ryan, you're pretty beleaguered over there.
Yeah, I suppose the loss to Japan, like, we all knew it demanded a response, didn't it? And we were expecting it. You know, there was a lot of talk during the week of, you know, a big response coming from Ireland. Schmidt had obviously made changes, Sexton back into captain, and you were hopeful more than anything that we were going to get that response. When, yeah, as Murray said, the primary objective was achieved. You know, Ireland got the 5 points, the bonus point, but it was a performance and result, really, that leaves more questions than answers, unfortunately. And I think that's really, as Murray touched on, the huge concern going into Samoa and then potentially beyond.
Murray, can you put it into context how sweaty the conditions were and how much do you attribute Ireland's 18 handling errors to those conditions? It seems excessive, even if it was absolutely sopping.
Yeah, it was tough conditions again. It wasn't quite as hot as it was here on Monday for Scotland Samoa. It was raining all day. It was lashing down in Kobe today. So that probably helped it be a little bit cooler. The temperature was lower. I think it was about 23 by the time it kicked off, and it was 29 on Monday. So definitely slightly better conditions. It was still sweaty and slippy, 100%. That contributed to a lot of the errors. But like, we can't just focus on the handling errors. There was a lot more to it. They gave up 2 scrum penalties. They got turned over at the breakdown in really good, promising positions in attack. They made 11 clean line breaks and didn't finish several of those when they had clear opportunities to do so. You think a standard bashing through and then just not even looking for a pass. There was some of the work rate even on their kicking game and how they chased kicks and got into position to chase kicks, how they worked back, I thought was low. The energy levels were low. There's just not a great vibe around Ireland. They started well. Listen, that strike play for Rob Kearney, an old Joe Schmidt classic, they're in after, you know, a minute and a half and you think this is going to go only one way. And the first half, to be fair, there was little bits of quality in there and they're in a decent position at halftime. But then Johnny Sexton goes off the pitch. They're saying that was pre-planned, that he was only going to play 40. But from there, it really did unravel. The third quarter was particularly poor. And it's more than just the handling errors, as I say. There was a lot more in that. Even something like a maul, a 5-meter maul, and they're getting their detail wrong. Dave Kilcoyne pinged for being ahead of the ball carrier. They go from there. They have a forward pass. They just looked like the confidence seeped out of them. And that is the concern. We spoke about it, Gav, on our most recent podcast. They've had big setbacks. And to me, they don't look like a confident group. And I don't know, you're increasingly getting the sense that it's just all getting a bit much. There's a lot of stress in the camp. There's bloody so much talk about referees and stuff like that. And you wonder, are they really looking at the right thing? So at the moment, it is a very downbeat forecast for Ireland, really.
Yeah, there are a few people brave facing it in the 42 members WhatsApp group as well, Ryan. But I suppose on the one hand, you can say after, say, a defeat to Japan, look, it's a pool stage defeat. You move on, you win your two games, you get to a quarterfinal. After an underwhelming performance against Russia, you can say the same. Look, you move on, you go to Samoa. But at a certain point, you run out of road and you're in a quarterfinal. And really, Ireland just don't seem to be on the right trajectory if they are going to get into uncharted waters beyond that quarter.
Yeah, it's becoming a bit of a team, like, and that's the concern. You know, you look back at that Scotland game, the pool opener, and that's really a standalone, really, in the overall context of this year, really, from an Irish perspective. And that's the most concerning element. You know, as you say, it's they had to get the job done today, and they ultimately, that's what they did. But just, we tried to kind of scribble down a few positives and negatives before we came on it. Like, and it was pretty tough going to kind of extract any positives. And even last week after the Japan game on one of our pods, like, I kind of put it to Murray that, you know, Jack Hardy's first half performance was a positive. And Murray quite rightly kind of shot that down and was like, look, we have to be realistic and, you know, put it in context. And it's the exact same here as well. And what struck me as well was, you know, Murray mentioned Jersey Reds there. Connacht also hammered Russia in pre-season. And Nigel Carrillon, the Connacht attack coach, afterwards was struck by the lack of fitness of the Russians. You know, they're physical, as we all know, but they just had a complete lack of fitness. And you thought, you know, after Ireland got off to a good start, and even in the third quarter, that Ireland would really push on and get that fourth score. But they went 35 minutes without scoring, which in itself really says a lot.
Yeah, they added a little bit of gloss to it even at the end. Like, it could have been a narrower margin of victory. Murray, it was very apparent, I think after Ireland went 14-0 up, that they just started to force things a little bit. I know both of Sexton's crossfield kicks, one from a penalty, were actually reasonably well executed. But even the fact that he crossfield kicked a penalty, you know, where Keith Earls rose and just about knocked the ball on. I mean, surely you just tap that into touch 5 metres out and try and roll it over. Simple enough. Maybe a little bit disrespectful to Russia, just, but like also a sign of, I don't know, like just trying to make things happen where they weren't done. Then you kind of move on into the game. You're 2-3 attacks, like sustained pressure in the Russian 22, 15-20 phases. But like, you're talking about Russia. I mean, at a certain point, you have to stop trying to blow the door down and just turn the key a little bit.
Definitely. It just seems like a lot of the decisions they make at the moment are not working out. Ireland having a team who go into the corner, like, they've often turned down penalty chances to back their maul, and now they've two games in a row they've tried that quick crossfield kick. Listen, it's come very close to working both times, and we'd probably be lauding them if it had worked. But it feels like those little bits of decision making are going against them, and it feels like it makes such a big impact on their mentality. And that's the thing I keep going back to now. I don't get a good sense of where they are mentally. I don't feel like there's belief in this squad based on what's happened this year in the big fixtures, and now even in a fixture like this where they were 52-point favourites and they didn't really get close to that and really laboured over it, as you mentioned. It was such a sense of relief in the stadium from the Irish supporters when Conway eventually went over off a nice bit of play from Jack Hardy, and obviously Jordan Larmour and him kind of sparked the final try to put a bit of gloss on it. But the error count is the thing that really stands out of it. On top of that, now the injuries are really mounting. Jordy Murphy is a real doubt now to feature in the rest of the World Cup. His rib injury after just 27 minutes, having replaced Jack Conan in the squad, only linking up with them on Monday, he's off for a scan now. It really didn't look great. His head was kind of bowed as he came off, and he may be gone already after barely featuring at all. Joey Carberry was withdrawn before kickoff with that, after aggravating his ankle injury. They called it an irritation of his injury. Joe Schmidt, he mentioned, I've never heard that phrase before around injury. He did mention bruising on the ankle, which would be really bad news if that's the case. Yeah. And it's a real, you know, you have a real doubt whether he's going to feature again. And you wonder, you know, a player who was injured for 7 weeks, was it really a wise decision? They were probably always going to bring him no matter what. But if he's gone as well, and Sexton coming off after 40 minutes, and that is such a big thing for it. Again, we talked about it, Gav. He is just everything for this team, and when he's on the pitch, they do appear to be different. There does appear to be a little bit more belief and direction and control, and I'm not saying that again as a criticism of Jack Hardy. I feel for him in a way, because he's really not had a lot of time in this team. If you think about it, he's only been in the setup since this year, really, so he hasn't built the kind of cohesion and understanding and that relationship with the other players. So that is a concern, that if Sexton's not on the pitch, they seem to be really struggling at the moment. And injury-wise, then Rob Kearney was substituted off. Joe Schmidt said he had some tightness in his groin. Again, you don't like to hear that into three games into a World Cup. So yeah, it's just a worry that on top of that sense of malaise, lack of energy, lack of belief, that the injuries are looking like they're piling up again now.
It's interesting to hear the terminology Murray used for Carberry's irritation. And like even what you were talking about after the game, how Ireland did put on brave faces. Peter Romani, Johnny Sexton's interview on the pitch with a Japanese interviewer, he's kind of smiling through it very deliberately. And it's obvious they're trying to kind of put a positive spin on it to kind of emit a sense of positivity. Because let's be honest, like even though it's completely intangible and most of us back home are you know, a million miles away from Japan, that sort of negativity in a country or the concerns of a nation when they're following a team does eventually seep into a squad. We've heard Jacob Stockdale and other players talking about how even James Lowe and Scott Fardy, when we were at that live show recently, talking about how they will look at tweets and follow social media and see the odd headline. So you can understand in one sense how they're, or why they would try and put a sort of a positive spin on it and smile through it. But with the Carberry thing in particular, kind of just nonsensical. Like Schmidt was talking on RT afterwards, and one of his reasons for Carberry being withdrawn was that Conor Murray was very keen to play.
Oh, stop. He said that afterwards in the press conference as well. He made a joke that Conor Murray wanted to play lock, which is a bit of a weird comment. I think he was trying to make light of it, but then you're kind of worrying more because he's made light of it. So yeah, it is a concern. And you're right, they will absolutely be influenced by the mood. And that's part and parcel of it. If they play poorly, they're going to get an honest review, and they will have to do their best to manage that now, particularly if there already is that low confidence level. They're going to have 2 days off when they get down to Fukuoka, the weekend off. So I think that's a really good thing to get away probably from the intensity of it and try and refresh minds going into that Samoa game and try and deliver a better performance again. And you're still looking at them and thinking, you know, they probably just have to play well once again, and they've been in that quarter final and in the mix, but it's hard to be confident on Ireland's behalf.
Yeah, Ryan, I think one of the most disappointing aspects to it is for all of the efforts over the last 4 years, and you think of that magical year that was 2018, it looks as though we're just going to have to rely on an Irish out of nowhere, back to the wall kind of victory in a quarter final if we are going to win one, as opposed to kind of actually being legitimate contenders like we looked like we might be a year ago.
Yeah. And you mentioned at the start, like it's in serious danger now of just petering out, isn't it? Like it's just, there was concern obviously pre-tournament, a bit of positivity around that final game against Wales, a good send-off. Obviously the Scotland game went really well, and you're kind of thinking, okay, we're building a bit of momentum here. And just the last week, 10 days or so, have been really kind of draining, even for us back home here. Like the, as you mentioned, the kind of negativity and the kind of even the hype around the team. Like I know today, obviously, this game was on during work hours here in Ireland. And, you know, people were trying to get off work to go and watch it. But, you know, if you had to watch that for 2 hours this morning during work, I think you go back to work and your productivity levels would be through the roof because you'd, you'd be so bored watching that. But no, like, as you mentioned, we're going to have to pull something massively out of the fire now. And you're just thinking, where is it coming from? Because even in 2018, there was so much, there was a body of evidence there to back up the positivity and, you know, you were hopeful. Whereas now you're looking and there's so many areas, as Murray's touched on, that is just really concerning. You're wondering where the renewed levels of confidence are going to come from. And that might come next Saturday against Samoa. They could have a really good performance. We suddenly go into a quarterfinal with renewed energy, with renewed hope. But again, we all know that we're going to come up against most likely the All Blacks in a quarterfinal. So, you know, like that's the concern.
Murray, are there any positives? I mean, a good performance by Reece Ruddock. He was named man of the match. I think you were impressed by Luke McGrath as well.
Yeah, I thought the two of them, in terms of, they certainly weren't error-free, nobody was, but I thought they brought an energy. You know, Luke McGrath had some poor passes probably and made a couple of decisions you could question, but he was energetic, he was snipey, he was trying to make things happen and didn't seem to go into his shell like a lot of other players did. Reece Ruddock was definitely in that vein too. I thought it was a really physical performance from him. Took his try well with a nice latch from John Ryan. And he's really putting his hand up to potentially push into that first team. And that's something Schmidt needs to consider now, is whether his frontliners, the guys he perceives as his quarterfinal starters, are still going to hold that status. Ruddock put his hand up at a time when Peter Mahoney's probably had a couple of poor games and been ill-disciplined at key times as well. Gave another line-out penalty there today. And yeah, I think Ruddock would feel he's given his best foot forward. I thought Gary Ringrose is good again. He's been one of the bright lights in this World Cup. And as I said, some of the tries were excellent and they put them together really nicely, but it was just so scattered and inconsistent that you wonder if they can deliver against a better team, because we just have to keep going back to that. Fair play to Russia. I really have a lot of respect for them, and Vaz Artemiev spoke really well after the game about what it means to them to be competitive against a top nation, but Ireland really should be putting them away with a little bit more comfort. And it'll be interesting to see how Schmidt goes now. A couple of days off, he'll try and, I guess, create a bit of a siege mentality. Everyone's writing us off. Everyone back home is, you know, thinking we're crap now. Let's show people what we can do over the next couple of games. And then from there, you never know what might happen. So they could still obviously top their group and come out and play the box. And you look at the kind of teams they struggle against. The box probably don't have the most width in their attack. They probably more similarly matched Ireland, and I think Ireland would probably feel they have a bit more smarts than them, particularly if Sexton is on the pitch for 80 minutes. So that's how they'll be viewing it, and they'll be positive that they can deliver that when they get to a quarter final.
Just one last one for you, Murray. So before you go, because I know you're under pressure to get out there, do you think Sexton will play against Samoa? I think I heard Schmidt allude to the fact that he might give him an hour, which I suppose the idea of him playing today, we thought, would be that he wouldn't have to play against Samoa. And you mentioned there, like, Ireland will back themselves against the box if Sexton is on the pitch. But that, it becomes a bigger if, I think, when he plays against the Samoans.
Yeah, it is a big question for them now. And they're in the worst possible situation they could have been, because they have to go and get that bonus point. And as you mentioned, with Sexton on the pitch, that's a far more likely possibility. So I would imagine Schmidt is feeling in his mind that Johnny Sexton needs to be part of this. He needs to be on the pitch if it is for an hour. I think the hope was that he wouldn't have played in that Samoa game, that he would have had the feet up, that he would have had a long rest into the quarterfinal. They will have, I think, 7 or 8 days regardless before that possible quarterfinal, as long as they don't make an absolute disaster of the final pool game. So there is that time on the other side of it, but we really don't know what his fitness is like. They're saying they plan to take him off after 40 minutes. Who knows? Like, they have consistently shown they essentially kind of lie and mislead with their injury information. So we don't know exactly how he's feeling either. But it does feel like he needs to be on the pitch if they're going to seal the deal and get that quarterfinal.
Yeah, it certainly does. We'll let you go there, so, and we'll catch you tomorrow for the 42 Rugby Weekly Normal.
Yeah, thanks, Mel. Looking forward to it. Catch you soon.
Cheers, Murray. Ryan, before we go, where is that spark going to come from that will reignite our World Cup campaign? Does it come from somebody like Sexton?
Yeah.
Is it just one moment, or does it need to be nearly like a full performance against Samoa that would...
Well, you talk about a moment there, and like, even during the second half this morning, you're kind of just waiting for that one bright spark. And you know, as Murray alluded to, we kind of pulled clear in the end. You know, Larmour came on and was quite bright in the backfield, and he had that one blistering break in the build-up to Ringrose's try. And you know, even like, there was a couple of bright moments in the second half, but you know, that it just comes far too late. And it's, you don't want to be too negative about it and too down about it, but it's just very hard, having seen them so close for the last couple of weeks and watched, you know, them that closely, that you're just thinking, where is it going to come from? And you know, this team, as we know, had a great 2018, but they need, like, just the complete unwillingness to look up. You mentioned in the first half that just hammering away at the Russian line, just the complete lack of imagination.
50 carries forwards in the first half.
You're banging on the TV, just, you know, spread it wide. And
the one time they did spread it wide, by the way, was when they had a penalty advantage and Sexton slung it off his left, and it was marginally forward.
Yeah,
but it put
and Conway was actually over. Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly. I think one of the other things is an aside, but obviously Jordy Murphy's gone for that scan, as Murray kind of reported on there, but be interesting to see if he is ruled out, who Schmidt then calls up, because the back row resources are thin on the ground, as we know already. But it's worth kind of noting that Tommy O'Donnell and Jack O'Donoghue were both with Munster and South Africa at the moment on their Pro 14 trip. And obviously O'Donnell was in the squad for the majority of preseason, so he'd be the obvious one. I know a couple of people have been kind of pushing a few names out there, Caelan Doris of Leinster being one, and even Devon Toner being called up and using Byrne in the second row, or in the back row, sorry. But yeah, it's not to be too negative about it. Hopefully they can come out next week and put in a really solid performance against Mo, get the job done, and go into that quarterfinal with a bit of optimism then, because that's obviously vitally important.
100%. We'll end on that then. Ryan, thanks a million.
Cheers, Gav.
And thanks to you guys at home as well, the 42 members. I'm going to actually avoid the WhatsApp group for the next couple of hours, I think, but have it out amongst yourselves. And we'll catch you all, whether you're a member or non-member, for the 42 Rugby Weekly tomorrow. Until then, take it easy.
I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
If you're working as an accountant and you lose your job, nobody really notices.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Tommy Moe!
Rugby Weekly.
Little reverse pass.
When the room is spinning and the words aren't sticking.